Praise the Lord. Well, Father, thank you so much for the word of the Lord this morning. And we just come together and we stand in agreement asking for anointing, asking for utterance. Lord, I know that there's some things that you desire to say to your people today. And so I open up my heart and I say, Lord, have your way. And we give you alone all of the praise and all of the glory ahead of time. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray, and everybody said amen.
Amen.
All right. So I'm tying in three words: blessing, favor, and goodness. Blessing, favor, and goodness. We looked last week at Psalms 34:8. It says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." Amen. And then we kind of ended on verse 12 and verse 13 of Psalm 34, where it says, "What man is he that desires life?" That's all of us. "And loves many days." Is that you?
Yes.
"That he may see good." Well, he says, here's the key to it: keep thy tongue from evil, and thy lips that they speak no guile. If you want to see good, you got to get bad out of your mouth.
Amen.
Amen. And of course, the communication of your faith by acknowledging every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus will keep bad out of your mouth. If you'll just get consumed with speaking what God's word says about you, praise the Lord, the devil did not have a chance where you're concerned. Why? Because you know what is written. And when you know what is written and you speak what is written and you act on what is written, he will not hang around your life. He will run from you as in terror. Amen? Now, the scripture I want to work with this morning, among others, is Psalms 145, verse 8 and 9, says, "The Lord is gracious, and he's full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy." What does verse 9 say? "The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works." Now, that word compassion over there in verse 8, I have been told that in the Hebrew translation of that is this: when it says he's compassionate, literally it means he's disposed to show favors. He's disposed to show favors. Well, isn't that what the Word of God says? The Word of God says you're surrounded by favor.
Yes.
Amen. We're surrounded by favor. Psalms 5:12 says, "For thou wilt bless the righteous. With favor thou wilt compass him about as with a shield." The Passion says, "Lord, how wonderfully you bless the righteous. Your favor wraps around each one and covers them under your canopy of kindness and joy." I heard many years ago, having the favor of God on your life means that God is for you. And Kenneth E. Hagin said this. He said, "If God is for you, what difference does it make who's against you?" So favor is not based on your performance. It's not based on the fact that you're good, but that God is good. In Webster's dictionary, favor is defined as an advantage for success. So favor gives you an advantage in life. And I love what Jerry Savelle says about it. Thank God for Brother Jerry Savelle. His teaching lives on. His ministry lives on. He says this: here's what favor does. It opens doors, creates opportunities, turns adversaries into allies, accelerates progress. Look at your neighbor and say, "We're making progress." And brings great blessings. And then he goes on to say, favor is the birthright of every believer. And you know what's great about this favor? It's for your whole life. 24/7. 365 days a year. That's what the psalmist said in Psalm 30, verse 5. Read it with me. "For his anger is but for a moment." So you thank God. "But his favor is for a lifetime." Or in his favor is what? In his favor is life. In other words, it's ever present in your life. Believe that. Expect that. And confess that. His goodness and his favor toward you is what I like to call the blessed life.
Amen.
You know, Jesus said that we are blessed. Now, the blessed life is this: God's favor resting on your life. God's provision flowing through your life. You see, when His provision is flowing through your life, that means you're being a blessing to other people. It's flowing through your life. It's coming to your life, but it doesn't stay there. It flows through your life. Mother Teresa said this: a life not lived for others is not a life. And so the favor of God resting on your life, His provision flowing through your life, and God's will being done in your life. The word blessed is a Bible word. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 27 and 28, the first mention of the word blessed is found there. He says, so God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He them. Male and female created He them. Verse 28. And God blessed them. And He said to them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. Now let's stop right there at the word subdue. The Amplified says, subdue it means to take authority and dominion over the earth with all of its vast resources. God put these resources in the earth for His sons and for His daughters. Amen. Amen. And He goes on to say, and have dominion. Have dominion, the fish, the fowl, and over every creeping thing that moves upon the face of the earth. I like that. You see, His intention when He made man, it never entered His mind for them to experience anything other than blessing. And folks, when you get born again, here's what God says to you. I pronounce blessing on you. I call you blessed. I confer my blessing upon your life. What does that mean? That means that His favor, His benefits, and His privileges have been permanently conferred and announced upon your life. Woo, glory to God. And you know what? I believe that. And I receive it. I'm not going to doubt it. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Woo, glory to God. So, what I got this morning is this: you need to see yourself blessed. And call yourself blessed. Well, it doesn't look like there's any blessing going on in my life right now, but it ain't over yet. Don't let go of your confession. Hold fast the confession of your faith, for the blessed one is faithful to those who He made His promises. Amen. Amen. So say with me, I am blessed.
I am blessed.
I'm blessed in the city.
I am blessed in the field.
I'm blessed coming in. And
I'm blessed going out.
I am the head.
I'm not the tail.
I am above.
I am not beneath.
He has blessed me with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I'm so blessed. The blessed people call me blessed. Amen. I'm looking at a blessed bunch. Aren't you glad I didn't get up here today and say I'm looking at a cursed bunch? All you backslidden buzzards. No, we don't have buzzards in this church. We've got eagles. And what do? Eagles soar. Eagles soar above whatever's going on in the economy. Eagles soar above whatever's going on in the nation. We are eagles. Amen. And we're growing new feathers. Hallelujah. Look at your neighbor and say, you are blessed. We're blessed. That's a good word. That's a Bible word. That's a favor word. Now notice in Psalm, the third chapter, the eighth verse. Psalm 3, verse 8 says that salvation belongs to the Lord and thy blessing is upon thy people. Young says, on thy people is thy blessing. So what this means, when you wake up, you're blessed. When you take your Sunday afternoon siesta. It's not Sunday afternoon yet. No. All day long, you are blessed. When you go to bed at night, you are blessed. You wear the blessing just like you wear your clothes. It's on you. Do you receive that today? That's a good thing, because he is literally looking for receivers. I believe what the Spirit of the Lord wants to emphasize in part today is we must have faith in his blessings and faith in his favor and faith in his goodness. Now, God is good, and you are his masterpiece. You are his handiwork. The Passion says you are his poetry. Well, I don't know if this fits or not, but when you act on the word, you're poetry in motion. Amen. So in Ephesians, the second chapter, notice this with me in verse 10. This is a great verse. It says, for we are his own handiwork, his workmanship created in Christ Jesus, born anew, that we may do those good works which God predestined, planned beforehand for us, taking paths which he had, notice this, paths which he has prepared ahead of time. So he has arranged some things ahead of time. He has arranged some paths for you and I to walk in. That's good news. The question is, are we prepared, though, for what he has prepared for us? And we're going to deal with that a little bit today. That we should walk in them, living the good life, which he prearranged and made ready for us to live. That just thrills me. That just thrills my spirit. Oh, hallelujah. What a planner. What a God we serve. My goodness. The NIV says we're God's handiwork created in Christ Jesus to good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So let's lay a little bit more of a foundation before we go into some things that I believe are really important. All of them are important. Psalm 31 verse 19, the Amplified says, how great is thy goodness? We could say it this way, how great is your compassion? How great is your blessing, which you have laid up for those, literally stored up for those that reverence you. The NIV says this, how abundant are those good things? NIV, how abundant are the good things that you have stored up for those who fear you? Amen. One writer says it like this, the goodness and favor is that attribute of God which he loves to give to all those who can and will receive it. He went on to say, he who is all good, creator of all good, absolute good, has abundant supply just for you. How many are glad that the angels don't have to run an inventory on it every day? F.F. Bosworth says this, there's no limit to his giving except our capacity to receive it. So God is looking for what? He's looking for receivers. This afternoon, Brock Purdy will be looking for receivers. Amen. Hopefully no interceptions. But we need some receivers. Bosworth went on to say this. He said, benevolence is that great attribute of God. Therefore, if you want to please him, now notice this, remove all the obstacles out of the way of the exercise of his benevolence. I want to take a little time today and look at various obstacles that keep people from receiving. The first obstacle we want to talk about is being unprepared for what God has prepared. The question is, are you prepared what he's prepared for you? Being unprepared is a major obstacle. Amen. Now, for example, if you're single and you're believing to get married, you need to be prepared to get married. Amen. If you're in debt and if you're looking for your honeydew to pay all your debts off, you're not thinking right. You need to work on getting debt free now. So that when you say I do and he says I do or vice versa, you'll be ready to live a life that is free from the pressures of finances. And another thing that we need to make sure that we do before that we get married, if you're looking to get married, and you have someone that has said, yes, I will marry you, don't run off to Vegas.
That's right. That's right,
don't run off to Reno. Uh-uh. I've known people that have done that, and their marriage lasted not very long. Because, you see, they were too hot to trot. And I couldn't wait. Can I just preach today?
Yeah,
I mean, let's be honest about it. Now, if you've done that, no condemnation, you know, praise the Lord, all those things, wonderful, great. But there is such a thing as premarital counseling.
Yes. Amen.
And what does premarital counsel do? Premarital counseling gets you ready for what's ahead.
Yes.
I just heard the organ. I don't know. And here's another area, education.
Yeah.
Education's important.
Yeah.
You know, if you want to you wanna go into business, you don't necessarily have to have a degree in business, but it doesn't hurt you at all to get prepared at least somewhat in those areas so that when you face the real world, you'll be ready.
That's right. So
important. We got to be prepared for what God has prepared for us. Ministry is the same thing. You know, there are people that want to be in the pulpit, but they're not ready to serve in the local church before. They want to be in the pulpit, but they never clean the toilet. But if you're not faithful to clean the toilet, you'll never get to the pulpit. You see, faithfulness is a big thing with God. And so faithfulness prepares you, if you will, for what he's prepared for you. Amen. You see, it's wrong thinking on our part to think that we're going to walk in abundance in the area of finances if we're not faithful to give. And somebody says, are you trying to get something out of us? No, we're trying to get something to you. See, it's true. The Word of God says, give, and it shall be given unto you. How? Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give to your bosom.
Yes.
Amen. He tells us to bring some of the tithes. No, he told us to bring all the tithes into the storehouse. Why? So that there might be meat in my house.
Yes.
And then he says, prove me now here, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven, that there shall be hardly enough room to receive.
Yes.
Wow. Be faithful. Be faithful. And one of the blessings of being faithful is being promoted. You want to be promoted. You want additional anointing on your life. And we use the example as a pulpit, but that's a very, very shallow example because most people are not called to pulpit ministry. But you are called to some ministry. Boy, I just heard a loud amen on that. You are called to minister. You are called to serve. And if you are faithful to serve where God has put you, here's what will happen. He'll put an addition on your life. How many of you would like an addition on your home? I like additions. How about you? But the way God adds to you when you're faithful to serve, he'll add to you more grace. He'll add to you a stronger anointing. He will add to your life and make you even a greater blessing than you've ever been. So the question we're working with today is, are we prepared? You see, Brenda and I, when we came here in 1982, we weren't prepared for 1982 or 1977 for 1982. We had to show ourselves and had to prove ourselves faithful for 5 years, for 6 or 7 years before we were promoted to come to the Bay Area. Which is, I believe, one of the greatest mission fields in the whole world. Amen. It is a melting pot. You just look around. We got a slice of the city right here in this place right now. But if we had tried to do in 1982 and in 1977, we wouldn't have been able to do it. Why? Because we had to prove ourselves. And God is into his people proving themselves. And the way that we prove ourselves is we become faithful in that which is least so that God can multiply it and that God can increase it and God can enlarge it. How many of you are for some enlargement? Now let's go into some lighter stuff. Are we prepared? You see, a lack of knowledge is an obstacle. That's why the Bible says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be shamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. See, the people of God go into captivity because they have no knowledge. You heard May's testimony today, didn't you? See, that was the result of years and years and years and years and years and years of the seed of God's word being planted in her heart. So that when the test came, and the devil tried to take her out, he couldn't take her out because her feet were solidly on the rock of God's word. And that's not to glorify May. That's to glorify God. And God's no respecter of persons. If you will be faithful with the seed that has been sown in your heart, and you will water that seed and speak over that seed and cultivate that seed that is planted will grow up and it will become a solid, solid foundation for you.
That's right.
Amen. Woo, glory to God. So a lack of knowledge is a major obstacle. What's the cure for a lack of knowledge? Get in the Word. Here's another obstacle, just flat laziness. A lot of people have this idea, well, I will if it's easy. The sluggard will never function and operate in the blessings of God. But what's the opposite of laziness? The opposite of laziness is being diligent. And what does the Bible say? It says the faithful, the diligent shall bear rule. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. The word says that he is a rewarder. Come on, don't leave me now. Don't leave me now. He is a rewarder of those that
diligently seek him.
Now notice he didn't say occasionally seek him. It says he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Woo, glory to God. Say with me, I'm a seeker of God. I seek first the kingdom of God. And all these things are added unto me. Another obstacle is excuses. Just excuses. Well, you know, I was born here. I was born there. You know what? You're born again. You're born again. Thank God that we are born again. Thank God we've got a new Abba Father. Thank God we've got a covenant with a covenant-keeping God. Yeah, but it's my lack of this and my lack of that. God said, the Lord is your shepherd and you shall never lack. Oh, say with me, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. So there are no excuses. And here's another obstacle, low self-esteem. low self-esteem. What's the remedy for low self-esteem? The remedy for low self-esteem is this. You need to have a rebirth of your self-worth. And the rebirth of your self-worth comes out of the new birth. The rebirth of your life comes out of the new birth. Knowing that you're a new creation in Christ. Knowing that you're complete in Him. Knowing that you're accepted in the Beloved. Knowing that you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Glory to God. Now, I understand that some people are challenged with that. I get that. I understand that. But you know what? You can challenge those challenges. You can challenge the challenger. The challenger is trying to make you feel like you're not enough. That you'll never be good enough. The challenger comes to lie and tell us, you know what? People just don't like you. Well, those are all lies from the pit of hell.
That's right.
And so what if so-and-so doesn't like you? Your attitude should be, that's his problem. Not mine.
That's right.
So what if they didn't hire you for a job that you wanted? And just said, you know what? You just don't have the goods. You just walk out of that interview and strut your stuff and say, thank God, God's got something better for me. God's got something better for me. I'm a blessing going somewhere to be blessed.
Yes, hallelujah.
That's the attitude you've got to have in life. Don't look as a shut door being a final door. Hey, come on, somebody. God's got doors for you that no man can shut. God's got doors for you that He can open wide. It's called the favor of Almighty God. Amen. So low self-esteem is another obstacle. I want to remind you of this. Bosworth said this. Benevolence is that great attribute of God. Therefore, if we want to please Him, remove all the obstacles out of the way of the exercise of His benevolence. Amen. Place your hand over your heart and pray this with me. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I'm asking you to show me areas that I need to be more prepared in. Reveal to me by your precious Holy Spirit those areas that I need to shore up. Now, here's what I want to tell you this morning. Opportunities are everywhere. Opportunities are everywhere. Opportunities are all around us. Don't wait for somebody to open a door for you. Live your life in faith. And expect God to open the right doors for you at the right time.
Yes,
so that you can be in the right place, doing the right things, with the right people, getting the right results.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
But again, let's work with this just for a few moments again. Opportunities are everywhere. The blessing that we're talking about is an empowerment for you to prosper. The blessing is an empowerment for you to get ahead in life. The blessing is an empowerment for you to succeed.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
There are no failures in this house.
No,
we are all successes going somewhere to succeed.
Amen.
His blessing, His favor, and His goodness will produce opportunities for you. Believe for them. Start decreeing this. Say this with me. The blessing of God empowers me to prosper. And the favor of God provides me with the opportunities to make it happen. Blessing and favor and goodness, they go together. So we need to expect that.
Yes.
We need to believe that.
Yes.
And we need to confess that.
Yes.
That I have favor with God and man.
Yes.
The favor of God opens doors that no man can shut.
Yes.
And because of the favor of God in our lives, the enemy will not triumph over you. Because of the favor of God upon your life, he'll do things in your life, praise the Lord, that he will just do just because he loves you.
Amen.
Say with me, golden opportunities, they are coming my way. Now in Genesis chapter 12 and verse 2, and the Amplified says it this way, I will bless you with an abundant increase of favors. That's plural, not singular. What God is saying to us this morning, I'm going to open the door for you to have opportunities to prosper and to succeed through the rest of your life.
Amen.
Now, most Christians miss God's favor because they don't recognize it when it comes into their lives. I heard a quote by Thomas Edison. He said this, the reason so many people miss opportunities is because they come dressed in work clothes. They come dressed in work clothes. And then he went on to say, some people pray for opportunities and just plan to sit there until it happens. Opportunities, think about that. It comes in work clothes. It doesn't come by the lottery. I mean, you can confess all you want that you're going to win the Powerball. And if you do, come see me. Missed opportunities bring regrets. Missed opportunities bring regrets. See, some of you have the opportunity to be saved today. You're watching online. You've not yet been born again. You got the opportunity to receive Christ today. If you're here in this auditorium, you have the opportunity to receive Jesus. Or if you're here and you've gotten away from the Lord, you got the opportunity to reconnect with him. But missed opportunities bring regret. Now, there's three ways that we can recognize and seize God-given opportunities. Three ways. Stop, look, and listen. Stop. Stop. You see, there are times where we just need to park. And we need to pull over. And we need to do what Isaiah says to do. We need to wait on the Lord. And what do we do when we wait on the Lord? We just wait in his presence. And we spend time fellowshipping with him in his presence and praying. It's like what Psalm 46 says. He said, be still and know. How many of you need to know some things? I think one of the major reasons why people don't know what they need to know is because they never get still enough to know. Should I say that again? I don't know that I can. That's why he says, be still. The Amplified says it this way, let be and be still. Is there anything in your life that you need to let be? I can think of a few things in my life. See, it doesn't do us any good to stew about some things that are going on in our lives. The best thing we can do is let it be. And when I'm talking about let it be, I'm not talking about being irresponsible. I'm talking about being very responsible. Because letting it be means this, that you're putting it in the hands of someone who can do something about it. All of us have proven our inability to do anything about it. But not our Heavenly Father. I said our Heavenly Father, he's able. And what he's looking for is sons and daughters who will just place all those things over in his capable hands and give him, understand, the opportunity.
Yes.
Give him the opportunity to work on it. Because God won't force it. God will not make you do those things. But the Amplified says, let go and let it be. And be still. See, I think one of the reasons why people can't be still is because they've got too many cares and anxieties going on in their mind. But you've got to cover the first base. Give it to Him. Let's do that right now. How many of you got some things here today? Honestly, there's some things you need to let be and let go of. Wave your hand at me. All right. Praise God. Let's go and pray this right now. Heavenly Father, You said in Your word to let it be. So I cast all my cares, all those nagging worries, all those crazy anxieties, I cast them over on You. I let it be. I place it in Your capable hands. Woo, glory to God. And I'm asking You to work on my behalf. Let Your favor go before me. Let the doors open up before me. In Jesus' name. So stop. Stop worrying. Stop the anxiety. Stop the craziness. And be still. And I like what somebody said over here. And know. Be still and know. You want to get to a place of knowing. Amen. The Holy Spirit has been given to us, Jimmy, so that we can know. Those things that are freely given to us of God. So that we can know those paths that He has prepared for us ahead of time. He's been given us so that we can know. How many of you want to know? Well, be still and know. There's something that happens, an exchange that happens in the realm of the Spirit when you give it to Him and you wait in His presence long enough and you just stop. There's an exchange of knowledge that'll come into your heart. It's like the lights will go on. How many of you have ever experienced the lights going on? Oh, glory to God. All of us. I mean, you didn't see. Now you see. It's like the eyes of your hearts are being flooded with light. So stop. Take time to listen. Take time to wait and linger in His presence. And then number two, look. Everyone say stop. And then look. And what do you mean by look? Well, we mean by look is check up on the inside. Look down here. Ask yourself, what signals am I getting in my spirit? See, God by the Holy Spirit lives in your spirit. And the greatest leadings that you'll ever experience in life come from the Holy Spirit in your spirit. It says in Romans 8:14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, what are they? They're the sons of God. Proverbs says the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. Searching all the inward parts of the belly. If that was written in English, we could say it this way. The spirit of man is the light bulb of the Lord. Amen. So look on the inside. Just check up on the inside. And you can practice this in your daily life. Check up on the inside. How many of you just in your heart, you set out to do something, but in your heart there was this hesitation? But you'd already bought the ticket. You'd already booked the flight. Anybody ever experienced that? I experienced that recently myself. I booked a ticket. I already bought the ticket. Yet on the inside of me, it just seemed like something wasn't right. Seemed like down here. What does seem like mean? Your inner man is your seamer. And you'll know on the inside when something's just not quite right. Keith Moore says, if it's not quite, it's not right. I like that. Well, I went anyway, you know. And I failed in this area, so I'm not here to tell you that, you know, I'm es muy perfecto. Because you know I'm not. And I certainly know you're not. But I missed it. And I went anyway. And as a result, I had to come back 2 days early. So it was uncomfortable. And it was stressful. And so I learned a lesson from that. Amen. Never override your spirit. Yes. Because your spirit knows. Yes. And if you'll take time to look down on the inside and look to him and ask him, okay, what is it? What's going on here? So everyone say, I'm stopping. And I'm looking. Now, on the other hand, I've experienced a whole lot of blessings by looking and obeying. Have you? How many of you can say this morning, I've experienced great blessing, great favor, and great goodness by just stopping and looking on the inside? Come on, can anyone testify? So start it in the little things. Start it in the little things.
Amen.
How about restaurants? You know, I mean, you eat out enough. You know, Brenda and I look at each other, where you want to eat today? Well, I don't know. Where you want to eat? She says, I don't care. Where do you want to eat? And I said, I don't care. What do you want to eat? And it goes back and forth and back and forth. What do you want to eat? And I feel like saying, okay, let's go get a TV dinner and eat at home. But, you know, you just got this in your heart, and you know, you end up going to a restaurant, and man, it was just right. Anybody ever experienced a just right restaurant? Anybody ever experienced a just wrong? So take time to check up on the inside, of you. Take time to look. So stop and look. And then the third one is listen. Listen. You know, we have a still, small voice. And I've discovered this. In order for me to tune in, I got to tune out. In other words, I have to tune other things out if I'm going to tune in. It's very difficult to sit down and watch 6-7 hours of television and say, okay, I need to hear from God. I've got 5 minutes. No, there's some things that need to be tuned out so that you can tune in. See, the Holy Spirit is always speaking. He doesn't always speak dramatically, does he? It's not always an audible voice, but he's always speaking. He's always leading. He's always guiding. And sometimes he just leads you by that still, small voice. So when it comes to opportunities, they're everywhere. Take time to stop. Take time to look. And take time to listen. And as you practice these things, you will see results coming into your life. Amen? Well, did you get anything out of this morning? Let's all stand to our feet. That's good enough for today. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Amen. One person said this, I never invest unless I hear from God. I got to know on the inside. I don't know what's going to happen in the markets, do you? I don't have any idea, but he does. Say it with me, he does. Somebody said, well, Pastor Mark, should I do this? Should I sell this? Should I do that? I'm not going to tell you anything. Because I don't want you coming back and slapping me saying, you gave me wrong information. But we serve a God who has the right information at all times, in all seasons for our lives. Amen? Amen?
Amen.
Don't come to me and ask me, should I marry this person or not? Unless I have a real witness not to, I'm just keep my mouth shut. You need to know these things for yourself. Stop and look and listen. Pastor Tom, amen.
Amen.
Let's raise our hands up and thank him. Father, we thank you so much for your great grace, your great favor on our lives. We magnify you, Lord. Help us to be keen spiritually. Help us to be stalwart spiritually. Help us, Lord, to not miss it. Help us, Lord, to walk in the Spirit and walk in the fullness of those things that you have prepared for us. We give you praise for it, and we give you honor for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen, amen. Glory to God. Raise a hand toward heaven and say this. I am a child of the Most High God.
I have favor
with God and man.
God
has conferred his blessing upon my life, and surely goodness and mercy is following me all the days of my life. And I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Woo! Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen.